Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
And my goodness, the Rams are going to escape with a 27-24 win. Tom Brady was moving the Bucs fine. They were had the ball near midfield. There was still a lot of time left, about a minute 45. And Brady decides to throw deep into triple coverage. And it's an easy interception for the Rams. And the Rams were able to kill the clock all the way down to a couple of seconds left. Johnny Hecker's punt is fielded by the Bucs, but time runs out. So the Rams win this game 27-24. And it was not a great night for Brady. 26 of 48, 216, two touchdowns and two interceptions. He certainly had his moments, but he did not look good for the most part tonight. And I tell you the same thing about Tom Brady. I'm going to keep saying this, Mike, I think for the rest of his career. Whenever he doesn't look good, whenever he's not comfortable in the pocket, he does two things. He throws the ball early and he throws the ball low. He didn't throw the ball low tonight, but there were many plays where he threw the ball way early where a receiver was just coming out of his break or they hadn't turned around yet. And this is what happens to Brady when he is uncomfortable in the pocket. The Rams defense was able to get pressure around him all night. Even though they only got one sack, they were able to get there and keep him uncomfortable, and he threw the ball early a ton. The other thing is, what have we said? What have you and I said since Brady signed with the Buccaneers? He's 43 years old. It's not going to be suddenly he's going to be great. It's not going to be suddenly he is awful. He's going to be a lot of this. Some games will be good. Some games will be average. Some games will be bad. He's had four or five good, really good games this year. He's had one or two average games, and he's had five stinkers. Right, that's kind of what you get when you have a 43-year-old quarterback who just isn't the same guy, despite the fact he has as many weapons as he does. You're going to get games like this from Tom Brady. That's just the way it is. Doesn't mean he's great again. Doesn't mean he was terrible, which is apparently the only two takes you can have. But this is the realistic thing for Brady. Where he is in his career, you're going to get some weeks great and some weeks not so great. Like I said, he is more Joe Montana near the end, trying to get out a couple of years, than he is Tom Brady saying, I got four. Then he is Peyton Manning saying, I got 4 years in Denver where we're just going to pin our ears back and go. This is where Brady is in reality.
Yeah, I mean, when we watch each and every one of these games, you also have to recognize the greatness of the defense that he's facing. And at every level, you've got playmakers on this Rams D, and you saw Fuller as the take full advantage of that tonight. He was the guy that sealed things with his second interception of the game.
Excuse Bless you.
Me. You okay yes, there? Thank you.
Hit
I thought I got
button.
It, but I thought I got it. The mute isn't as responsive as I'd hope. I feel good. I'm feeling fine. Nobody worry about me. I'm good. Just a little dust because I've been cleaning all day. But the idea being that for Tom Brady, even with all the weapons and the super friends assembled, when you face better defenses or the teams that have the scheme that matches up well, right? Sean Payton and the Saints, for their two games, they owned them, right? They owned them in week one, and they owned them a couple of weeks ago and just absolutely obliterated them. We know this. With the Rams, you've got great personnel. I'm watching these guys all five wide and wishing that Brady had a super arm, you know, like Bucky running around in Infinity War. Oh, I'll get that arm. In other words,
how much for the arm? Not for sale. I'll get that.
Right?
Arm.
I mean, if you had a guy with a big arm, like a guy rotten right now in New Orleans because they're playing the other guy, that you could have some fun with that, just winging the ball around. But when we're watching that last possession for the Buccaneers, they got greedy. They got greedy. You had almost two full minutes, you had two timeouts left. You've got all of those weapons that they have to defend each and every play. You know the flag is always just an extra little shove and grab from coming out that you didn't need to go for the downs with. And granted, it's to Cameron Brate, so you're going to, you know, the fifth option out of your receiving core. But they were waiting for it. They had the extra man. Fuller read it perfectly and just waited like it was a punt, much like the earlier interception from Brady. So, yeah, it's the ebb and flow and the roller coaster. There's going to be some tense moments, some angry moments. Godwin got nicked up a little bit towards the end there, so we'll keep an eye on him. But, yeah, when Ramsey essentially erases Evans for much of the game, you've got to keep working to the check down. And that offensive line, as we know, has been one of the issues for Tampa. Not to put it on them at all. I mean, Brady, you know, just has to make better throws, give his receivers a chance. He had a couple of drops. He had a deep ball to Antonio Brown that went through his arms that probably should have been caught. Leonard Fournette had a couple. You know, the old, they'd like to have that one back kind of moment. The worst line of analysis you'll ever hear in sports. Well, I'm sure as they look in this particular game, there's a lot of moments that you know, those inches are all around.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. I got a joke for you, Mike Harmon. You ready?
Hit me. Yeah.
Okay. Tom Brady loses a football game, and as the clock strikes zero, the opposing quarterback comes out to shake his hand, and Tom Brady just walks off the field.
It's a good line. I really thought you were going to have a vaporize.
That's the joke. That's it. It's not, and it's not just Nick Foles. It's not like Jared Goff, you know, took off his head and it turned out to be Nick Foles, like this was Mission Impossible. No. Jared Goff walked to midfield. You know he's waiting for Tom Brady. He's shaking other people's hands, and Brady just decided to walk off the field. I mean, you can't sit here and make excuses for the guy anymore. He's just a bad sport. I get it. It's just a bad. I'm not going to shake anybody's hand and walk off the field. I'm not going to do it. When he wins, he's out there all the time, right? Hey, good game. But I lose, and I can't go out there after the game is over and say, hey, good game. I mean, really. I mean, that. What else can you say about the guy? Yeah, you can't defend him anymore. And because, look, this is something that all players do, especially the quarterbacks and the head coaches. Look, we saw Harbaugh have the big snub yesterday of Vrabel because he was pissed off about what happened before the game. So
but
when
they said there was nothing wrong. What are you talking about?
There's nothing wrong. No, I just don't like the guy. But the quarterbacks, especially Brady, he knows when the camera's on and they expect, but still I'm not going to go do it. I'm not going to shake Nick Foles' hand. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to shake Nick Foles' hand again. I'm not going to shake Jared Goff's hand. No, when I lose, I'm not going to go out there and shake anybody's hand. Not that this is, oh boy, suddenly it's peewee football and everybody gets orange slices and a participation trophy. But still, Brady's usually out there after they win. He's out there when they win. I don't see him. I don't see him out there when they lose. This is the second time this season that we've seen him in a nationally televised game saying, "Yeah, I'm just walking right off the field."
0-4 against the spread in primetime games this year. Maybe he's just feeling shame.
Mm.
Maybe it's just the shame, and he didn't want one more Chiron to put up that note. How about
listen,
that?
I'm just gonna leave.
Didn't think about that,
leave.
Did you?
I don't want to give you any time to put the Chiron up over me.
No mocking me. Just put the picture of me with the four fingers up and leave me alone.
Covers his face with his hand.
Don't look at me. I'm hideous.
At least I knew what the down was this time. I knew when I threw the pick we were coming off the field, so that's progress from me, right? I mean, look, this is who Brady is. When Brady has games that are frustrating, when he loses games where he doesn't play well or thinks he should play better, all of these things, he turns into this guy. Right, he turned to this guy, and now I'm going to walk off the field and not shake hands, not even give you the wave, right? Even if you, because that's the whole thing, is that if you just made it like midway part to the field and you wanted to talk about COVID and everything else, and you just give the hey wave, okay, just like the coaches do, right? You see that sometimes when coaches come out, they don't want to get through everybody and shake hands, like hey, you give me the wave, good game, I got you, but I'm going to walk off the field right now. That's all he's got to do. That's all he's got to do, just come out and just do the wave and go, hey, all right, you'll see. All right, yeah, good game. Okay, you know, here's Goff all the way to midfield to do it, you know, knowing full well this is what it is. But this is, I mean, it's just being a baby not doing that. I mean, really, it's you know, look.
You called him a baby.
It's like being a baby. I can't go shake hands after we lose. Can't go do it. I mean, I don't know what else. This is not a playoff game where, oh, the season ended and I'm very emotional and I really don't want to go shake anybody's hand right now. Even though all the players go to midfield and still shake hands, they all walk over. Hey, good game. I got friends over here. Hey, that was great. You played well. I want to make sure. Hey, good. I want to acknowledge you. And, you know, you don't do the jersey swaps anymore and certain things because of COVID, but still. People go to midfield. It happens all the time, right? So to sit here and say, oh, I get it when a guy can't be a good sport. Everybody else can be. Everybody else, this is the way it's done in the NFL. So you can't sit here and tell me that, no, he doesn't have to. It's just that this is the way it is done. This is how you show respect to the team you play against, and you show respect for the game that you just played. You go out there, and you at least, hey, all right, this is good. I'm the quarterback. I should go out there and do this. But I'm just going to walk off the field because I'm pissed off. I know Arians is going to yell at me. He's going to make oblique remarks about how I'm a bad quarterback again. I'm not into this. I'm not going to shake your hand, Nick Faw. I'm not going to shake your hand, Jared Goff. I'm not going to do it.
I think what you need to do is at Swollen Dome, at How About a Fresca, if you have a name for this clinical point, this affliction for Tom Brady, please let's come up with the medical definition, medical term that best describes this phenomenon, and let's try to push that forward, because this ain't the last time that we're talking about this. I can tell you that.
I mean, it's you would think if you're Brady, right? That you know that, okay, I'm just going to get killed in the media, and they're going to say this stuff about me if I don't go out and shake hands. So you think at this point, having won as much as he's won, and having had the career that he's had, people calling him the GOAT and all of these things, you would think with all of this stuff going on, okay, I can walk over. This is like, I don't need this, but I'm still going to go do that. I'm still going to not go shake hands at midfield. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's being a baby. If you're hurt, if there's something going on, if something happened during the game, if Jared Goff is throwing touchdowns and he's going, you like that, and he's pointing at his bicep going, look at this, I'm throwing all these touchdowns, I'm calling Giselle after the game, you look at this, yeah, then I understand, I don't want to go shake his hand. But here's Jared Goff out there to shake hands, and everything is good, and still Brett, nope, just walking around, because I'm mad because I threw an interception at the end. I'm mad. And maybe in some kind of weird way, he wants us to see that, oh, I'm really mad at myself because I blew this, so I want you to see how much I care. Like Tom Brady has anything to worry about convincing us about how he cares, how he feels about his NFL career at this point. The guy's done enough over two decades, I think, to show us what he cares, what he wants to do with the National Football League. But Brady is always more media savvy than you think he is, right? Like I say, whenever things aren't going right, what have I seen for 20 years? The camera so happens to be on Brady, and he's yelling at his teammates on the field, on the sideline, or he's yelling at them on the field. And when he knows the camera's on him, I'm yelling at my teammates, letting them know, hey, this is not acceptable. This is not my fault. He is much more media savvy than you think he is. And he knows coming off the field that, oh, this is what I really want to go out there. I wasn't want to shake hands because it's not a big deal. I want people to see that I care. It doesn't matter. I mean, really, if you go or don't go, it seems like you care any more or any less. I mean, I don't get it. And this is why, no matter how you want to cut it up, he looks like he's a baby. That I can't go. I can go when I win, but when I lose now, especially in these regular season games that are not nearly as meaningful as playoff games, I still can't go do it.
Well, I think you have a hatred for Brady that runs deep. You called him a baby. You called him a child.
I don't have any hatred for Brady anymore. I mean, not that I ever hated him. Well, as a football fan, I'm like, oh, my
yeah,
God.
You did.
But I never hated the guy. I have no dog in the fight
right now. You've
mocked
his recovery pajamas. You've mocked everything about the man.
Oh, come on. If you can't mock recovery pajamas, what can you mock?
Hey, man.
I mean, where are we in this world?
But, I mean, if that gives you the mental capacity, right, you feel like you're going to be better, then maybe it helps you. Maybe it's 1%. maybe that's all it takes, and it puts you on a path towards greatness. I don't know. But to your point, yeah, look, all these guys know the games. It's the same thing as all these guys for years, coaches, players, and everything else telling me, I don't read what's said about me. Okay, someone else reads it to you. But you know damn well everything that's written about you, against you as a player, against whatever you might have said in an interview. You know what's written in the local papers. You know how each and every one of those local reporters comments on you, and you've got your scoreboard. You're keeping receipts because you want to show every one of them with a great performance. So with Tom Brady, I don't think he's different from anybody else. It's just, well, he's Tom Brady. Which means 6 Super Bowl rings will get folks to comment on a bit of everything. Every quarterback yells at his line when they think they've failed him. everybody throws a tablet. Yeah, but everybody hurts sometime.
I don't see the cameras always on Aaron Rodgers when he's yelling at his team. I don't see it. I never saw Cam Newton on the sideline yelling at his teammates. Yeah, but I always see Brady doing it. Always saw Brady. I'm always going to eat when things aren't going, because things always go well. You know, and that's part of it. You know, that might be part of it, because things have gone well for him for so long. And it was, Boy, things are just awesome. But the couple of times things don't go well, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Well, we all know people like that in our lives from the time we're kids all the way through our adulthood.
Yeah, but this
should have
stopped.
A little bit of adversity, they run away.
Yeah, but this should have stopped when it comes to video games. It's like, oh, I'm going to play a video game against you, and I think I'm going to win, and you wind up beating me pretty bad, and I go, I'm not playing that game anymore. This game sucks. And you take it out, and you throw it out. Let's play a new game. And then you put in a new game, and you lose in that game. You go, oh, this game sucks. Let's play. You know, I don't want to play a game anymore. I'm done playing this game. I'm finished. That's kind of what it's like. Brady's the guy saying, oh, I don't want to play this game anymore. This game sucks.
Especially when
that's what he
takes on that tone, that's even better. It sounded like the impression we used to make of family members when they'd be all mad and salty about stuff.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know what I used to do? I used to really upset my friend. But it's not that big a deal. But is that whenever, like, if I was at my friend's house, we were playing video games. Like when I'm in my 20s, we're playing, like, NHL or PGA
NHL
Tour.
94, and you made Gretzky's head bleed. I've seen that
Watch his head bleed. Gretzky, watch his head bleed. Like, those are the big games that I play. It was NHL and, you know, all the games in the 90s and 2000s and PGA Tour. And but especially in hockey, we would play, and my best friend, he would hate me all the time because, like, we'd be playing, and then the pizza would get here. And if I was at his house, he'd go, all right, let me go get it. I was like, all right, great. So we pause the game. He would get up to go get the pizza. I would unpause the game, score a goal, and then pause it back. And
you
he
stole
would go,
it right out of Swingers. You
right,
jerk.
Right. No. And then he would come back, and he would go, all right, we'd start playing again because I'd pause. He'd go, all right. He goes, wasn't it 4-2? Wasn't I winning 4-2? I go, no, it's 4-3. When did you score? I said, Roenick scored, and then I had Eric Daze, and then Roenick again. When? I go, dude, it's 4. What do you want me to do? It's 4-3. All right, we'll play. And he finally realized once I did it, and I dropped the remote. And he goes, oh, I knew you'd been changing the score. I knew you'd been doing it when I would go get the food. So mad.
You got an Eric Daze reference in. All our people and fans and friends and family back in Chicago now salute you. Oh, good times.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We just watched a thriller on Monday night, Rams and the Buccaneers. It was like Balboa Creed 1, Balboa Creed 2, Balboa Drago. It was a heavyweight fight. It was a war. And the Rams threw one more punch, and they win the game 27-24. It had all the earmarks and the hallmark of, well, the Rams are up by 3. They left too much time for Tom Brady on the clock. He's going to take the Bucs right down the field, and they're going to score, and they're going to win this game. It's going to be, oh, look at Tom Brady. And then on the final possession, they have the ball at their own 40-yard line, and Brady tries to go downfield, and the Rams have 3 defenders around the receiver, and I don't get where Brady was trying to throw this football. I can't believe he didn't see the safety. That's not Tom Brady, but he didn't see the safety, and Fuller is just standing in center field and comes up with a pass. I mean, I really watch this play, and I go, man, this is not a throw Tom Brady makes during his heyday. This is not a throw Tom Brady made even as recently as a couple of years ago. But last year, this year, take a look. These are the kind of throws Tom Brady makes. It doesn't mean he's terrible, right? And I want to throw that out there, that Tom Brady is not a terrible quarterback. He is still a good quarterback. But last year, he fell out of the periphery of being one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. He just did. And then this year, he's falling a little bit more out of that to maybe being a top half of the NFL type quarterback because of what he's done. He's thrown a lot of touchdowns. He's thrown for a lot of yards, but he has had some stinker of games, and his quarterback rating is not nearly as good as the top players in the NFL. In fact, I think Brady's quarterback rating is he's outside the top 15.
Yeah,
and so he's just not the same guy that he was. And but he's not terrible, but still he's not the same guy. And if you look at, I made the comparison to Joe Montana earlier in the show, right? That Brady's career at the end, what he's trying to do is Brady is trying to do more what Joe Montana did the last couple of years in his career. Brady's trying to sit back and say, all right, well, what am I going to do? I'm trying to extend my prime for another couple of years. And what did we see when Brady came to the Bucs, right? We saw him, all right, he's got all these weapons. It's going to be a new lease on life for him. Things are going to be great. And what have we seen from Brady? We saw, hey, some games are great. He's had about five really good games. He's had one or two bad ones. He's had five absolute stinkers. Montana, when he went to the Chiefs, it was, boy, he had some moments. He had a big Monday night win in the final seconds over Denver. He had some moments, but in the end, he wasn't the same quarterback. The team wasn't as good as other teams, and he fell short in the playoffs twice. Now, he got to the AFC Championship game because this is exactly what we said Brady was going to do this year. The first year, he was very successful. Second year, he got hurt, wasn't as much in the success department, and then he retired from the National Football League. This is where Tom Brady is at. Brady is 43. He's got a couple of years once he came to Tampa. This year is going to be his best year because you don't get better as you get older. You don't go 43 to 44 and, oh, Brady's more familiar with the offense now and he's going to be able to figure things out. No, this is going to be the best Tom Brady you're going to get in Tampa Bay. And some weeks it's going to be good enough. Some weeks it's not going to be good enough. And in the end, in the playoffs, there's going to wind up being a team that's a little bit more complete, that plays a little bit better, that's going to eliminate the Buccaneers from the playoffs. That's what you signed up for with Tampa. And hey, it'd be a successful season if that was the case, because you look where you're going with Jameis Winston, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. You can't even get in the playoffs. This is where you're thinking for the Bucs this year. So, hey, you have lofty goals and you're going to be in the playoffs. You're going to win a game or two. You know, this is how it's going to go. But in the end, Brady's not somebody who's going to play great every single week. He's not that quarterback anymore. So you signed up for 2 years of Joe Montana. You didn't sign up for 4 years of Peyton Manning where, hey, I get 10 more yards on my fastball because we're in Mile High Stadium now and I'm going to throw 50 touchdowns at that. Hey, eventually the end of Peyton Manning was pretty rough too, but he wound up winning a Super Bowl. But he doesn't have the time that Peyton Manning had in Denver to get it going, especially with the year he's having now. There's no way you can tell me, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that if you had to say right now, all right, are we going to, if Tom Brady came to us right now and said, listen, I want to finish my career, this is awesome, let's do another 3 or 4 years. What are you doing if you're Tampa Bay? Are you saying, yes, let's sign in the dotted line? Are you saying, let's kind of wait and see how the rest of this year goes? That's where you are right now, and that's the reality for Tom Brady.
Well, obviously, at 43, he's already defied Father Time, and now it's just a question of when those final chips are due and you move on to the next phase of your TB12 speaking empire or whatever the case may be. We know the ups and downs are there. The arm strength's not there. And you don't have the zip downfield but once or twice a game. Fenley, in his update, gave you the number earlier. 1 of 9 on throws of 15 yards or more. Two interceptions on those balls. And you had split safeties. You got the good pressure up front at Brady's feet, as we know. You rush 4 and just let the other guys work in coverage. And against this Tampa Bay offensive line, you don't need to bring extra guys. And I think that's one of the big parts that's playing out as this season rolls as well, is you don't have the best front five. And this is one of those things. If you're working with your kids, as much as you may want them to be the quarterback of your team, they got a little bit of beef on them, take a good look, see. Maybe it's time to start getting to the trough and recognizing there's 32 teams that need 5 guys and more, and most teams don't have them. And you watch that again tonight, where that front, and led by Aaron Donald, all right, he counts as 2 guys coming in on you, but that you can get pressure with just the front, and that gives you the better advantage in coverage. And I think that's where we're at. As much as you'd love to think Brady could throw out of it, and this is, you mentioned Jameis Winston, his arm strength would have said, hey, I can get it there. Now, whether he would have been accurate enough to find the receivers or not, well, that would have been a fun exercise with all of this talent assembled. But on the play to Brate, Fuller's lined up beautifully. John Johnson does a good job with Brate and stays with him at about the first down marker. they kind of hand fight just a second. Maybe it throws off the timing. Maybe that's really all it needs to be. Not calling for a penalty, but just saying enough to where Brady's lived his life on timing. And it's clear in a lot of these cases that timing doesn't exist in this Tampa offense. And the hot take nonsense will continue over the next 24 to 48 hours. Is he done? And blah, blah, blah. And whatever, everybody that's had that take for a decade has been just waiting for the time to finally write the final epitaph. That day's coming, but it's not today. You could say they were beaten by a good team. Don't forget that the Rams and their defense did a hell of a job on Russell Wilson. And 3 weeks ago, everybody wanted to put a crown on Russell Wilson. For this season. Right?
Yeah.
Season. I'm not even talking about the career achievement.
He's the MVP. We wanted to give the MVP after 2 weeks in the season. Oh, the third week, who's the MVP? It's three bleeping weeks. We can't start talking MVP yet, but no. Let's run with that narrative. Why not? Let's talk MVP.
Well, there were enough topics that the fact that that became a talking point at all is, I mean, it's just lazy, man. It's lazy. It's like going back to the goat talk. Who the blank cares?
Hey, let's put up a poll question here. I want your reaction right now to this question. We're going to have eight different answers. Brady and the Rams are. Look, I said it was a heavyweight fight tonight, and I do believe that because as much as Tom Brady, the reality is he's not the same guy. Like I told you, they still have lofty ideas. I do expect them to get in the playoffs and win a game or two because that the NFC is wide open. Now for the Rams, it's different because the Rams, whenever you can show in the NFL, and this is a really big deal. And this is why, you know, I talked about the Chargers a few minutes ago about how Justin Herbert is set up for great success because the Chargers do one thing, and that's for 40 years, we're going to throw the football and do it well. And we're going to make sure no matter what our team does, we throw the football well, we put points on the board. I mean, that's their identity. That's what they've done for, like I said, 40 some odd years now. And, you know, you see that. But you need to be more well-rounded. When were the best Charger teams? Well, when they had that great defense to go along with LaDainian Tomlinson being able to run it and Phillip Rivers throwing it. I mean, those are great teams. They couldn't get over the hump. But when you were more complete, you were a great team. The Rams are showing that they can be the most complete team in the NFC. Now, I would throw it out there that you know, if you want to think that, all right, maybe the Saints, they've hit a new level now, and who knows what's going on with Taysom Hill, if he can play like this. But clearly, if you're talking about a team who can throw the football, run the football, and play defense, what team can do all three of those things the best? That's the Rams. All right, because the Seahawks offense, we see how great it is. Their defense is the worst. You, me, and Frostburg could put points on the board against Seattle. I would just get Jamal Adams to the line of scrimmage and throw it over his head.
You're rising up now. Dunlap's going to throw you down. just saying. Watch out.
Seattle's defense is awful, right? The Packers, as well as good as they've been, they've shown, well, we can lose some games. We can get blown out. We can make mistakes and lose. So they're not world beaters. Clearly, their defense gives up points. And the Saints, like I said, they're a little bit of an unknown, but their defense isn't the greatest in the world. But the Rams, the way they're built, and they built their team, again, the 49ers of last year showed a blueprint for a couple of teams in the NFL to be able to say, we don't need to rely on our quarterback as much as we thought we did, even though he's a number one overall pick, right? The Browns decided, we're going to sledgehammer run the football. We're going to bring in a couple of running backs. We're going to go with Nick Chubb and with Kareem Hunt. The minute they gave Kareem Hunt that extension, we said the Browns are changing their identity, and they're going to rely on Baker Mayfield to do a lot less. And look where the Browns are. Ta-da, 7-3, the Browns have no problems. Well, here come the Rams. What are we going to do? Well, Jared Goff is good, but he may not be that guy. He may not be a guy that's going to win a gunslinger battle every week. Now, he can do it once in a while, but maybe we don't rely on him. So what do? They bring in a bunch of Jags, and it doesn't matter because their offensive line is really good, and the Rams run the football every single week. Every week, the Rams run 40 times, 35, 40 times, all right? That was their identity. Okay. But now they show you a little bit something else. So, and you know what? When you take that run away from us, once in a while, we can throw it by you. And that's what Jared Goff did tonight. He showed you why they don't rely on him all the time, because his two interceptions were really bad. I mean, it was a miscommunication, I think, on the first one, and the second one was just awful. And he almost gave the game back to Tampa Bay. But Goff is able to throw for over 300 yards and put enough points on the board and lead them down in a game-winning drive with 4 minutes left to go. If you're relying on your quarterback like that, and once in a while, once every few weeks, hey, you know what? We can show you a little something. We can go for 350 in the air and throw three or four touchdowns a night. Hey, that tells me you are a great team. When you can do all that and still play great defense, because that doesn't change anything with the Rams as well as they've played, you show me you're a team that I think at the end of the year is going to be a team that's standing. And the Rams have been able to reload after the last couple of years, and I thought it would be a little bit less. You're in salary cap hell, paying out a lot of money, but they have figured this out, and this is a dangerous team right now. This is why if the Rams wound up in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, I'd be surprised about that, because they could be the best all-around team in the NFC.
No, it's fun to watch this team come together. And Jared Goff has obviously been a nice hot pincushion here in Los Angeles for when he does make mistakes, right? And it goes south. But overall, he's been efficient with the football, and there have been a lot of games when they've been able to rely on the run. I think the comparison to what's happened in Cleveland and what Baker Mayfield is on a week-to-week basis is apt. And then every once in a while, you need the arm to go to work, and you've got players that can get open. Cooper Kupp is pretty much a vacuum cleaner, catching anything that comes his way. And Robert Woods, I mean, we talked about it as the game was going on, how much we were relying on Yak here and throwing guys open. And they did a great job against that back seven of Tampa that's been very good this year. And even with no running game, zero, they stayed with it enough to at least run some clock, mix some things in. Yeah, you can question it a little bit, but overall, I mean, if Jared Goff's going to be able to stand in there with poise, and that offensive line did a great job tonight, and that's going to be one of the benchmarks, and perhaps I'm giving the big guys maybe a little bit too much love here in the NFL, but you know, that solves a lot of problems if a guy gets to stand without being decked so many times. And Jared Goff worked from a clean pocket for much of the night. They rolled it out a few times, found him some space and got moving along the sidelines. Yeah, I like the way they're calling plays, and Sean McVay's been embarrassed once on the big stage. Would love to see him in a return bout if he's able to pull it off. And right now the NFC is wide open. Everybody's got flaws, just like the rest of us, Smith.
Everybody's, I thought you were going to say, everybody's flaws. Got a price like the Million Dollar Man. You were ending that way.
Well, I was going to. So I just alluded to it in my cadence. I was going to do the maniacal laugh to close it off as we celebrate the end of the illustrious career of The Undertaker, as they did at Survivor Series. And you know how he capped it, Smith? 200 cameo appearances at $1,000 a piece. That's how you go out in style, baby.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Big news of the day in the NFL. Joe Burrow, as he first told everybody yesterday, probably Schefter and all the insiders are going, hey, come on, you're scooping us. After a bad-looking knee injury, Joe Burrow tweeted out, hey, see you guys next year. Can't keep me down. And the diagnosis came in fully today that after getting smashed in a sack against the Redskins, against Washington yesterday, Joe Burrow now has a torn ACL, a torn MCL, and other knee damage. This is about as bad as it could be for Joe Burrow, who was upbeat as we heard, you know, coming back into Bengals facilities today, that he was as good as you could think a guy who's now out for the year with a torn ACL is. Obviously this is just a shame, because he was having such a phenomenal season as a rookie quarterback. He came in, he got it right away. I mean, he was a light for the Cincinnati Bengals, and now you're looking at a long rehab for Burrow and him coming back. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the every generation history repeats itself. When Carson Palmer got hurt and he tore his ACL in the playoffs, how long until Carson can come back? And he come with, this is when Carson Palmer is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he gets hurt. Kimo von Olhoffen rolls on his knee. That was the Bengals' best chance to potentially win the Super Bowl. They lose that game, and it was a whole summer of Carson's coming back. And we're kind of going to be doing that for Joe Burrow. Can he come back for the beginning of next year? Can he come back? Because this is a long-term injury. But the first thing, Mike, is that, you know, seeing everybody today going, this is the Bengals' fault, right? Bengals going to bangle. It's the Bengals' fault. Oh, they got Joe Burrow hurt. They didn't have a good enough team. You know what? This it's tackle football. All right, it's tackle football. What were you going to do, not play him? You can't go out and sign the best five free agent offensive linemen in the game. You know, you do your best trying to put people around him. And once in a while, a guy's going to get hit and a guy's going to get hurt. I mean, that's the way it goes. I know it stinks because you would think that we see these injuries a little bit less in quarterbacks now because of the rules that are in place to protect them. But still, this is what football is. And once in a while, this happens to a guy. And it's awful and it's terrible. And I feel awful for him and awful for the Bengals, but you got to stop with this whole, it's the Bengals' fault start. This is not the Bengals' fault. Oh, well, if you would just had a better left tackle. Okay, you got $25 million for a left tackle. I mean, everybody's doing their best trying to put a team out there, and it's not like, hey, you know, we're just going to ignore the offensive line. You got a lot of positions to figure out on a football team. This is not just Bengals going to bangle.
Well, I would say there's two things to it. Number one, I was all for Operation Shutdown, said so on this show several weeks ago. You saw what you needed from Burrow. Stop setting him up as a sacrificial lamb, especially because you can't run the football, so you're dropping him back 40 times. Okay, so that's fine. We don't do that. That's more just hot take nonsense. I get it. But raise my hand just saying, you know, it's on the table when you realize, all right, we got the star of the future. Let's not get him killed. To that end, what the Bengals could have done was let's change the play calling to get the ball out of his hands faster. And again, on this particular play, you know, it's just horrible to watch the way that leg gets submarined. But just their play calling over the last 10 weeks is just, we're keep running the stretch plays. And I like that you want to go vertical. But as soon as you realize that that offensive line is Swiss cheese, which we recognized a long time ago, right? Watching him get bludgeoned, you got to start changing the play calling. You got to start working the quick outs, quick passes, get the ball out of his hands. So I will blame the Bengals for that. I know you got a cannon of an arm and you got a guy that you know for a long time should be your benchmark at the position and be one of the young up-and-coming stars. But the reality is you knew you didn't have the five guys up front that were going to be able to protect him. And he was already taking just a ton of unnecessary hits. Part of it's holding the ball too long, right? So he takes his blame or takes his quarterback rookie lumps along the way, right? Don't see you see it better in year five than you do in year one as stuff breaks out and you get quicker at getting the ball out. But to just from the Bengals side, that would be the only thing I'd fault from it, from just an offensive blueprint that they were trying to work through, is just get the ball out faster. And yes, everybody said it. It's tackle football. There's freak accidents, freak injuries. You got a good defensive line from Washington that they got the hit, right? And Chase Young checked on him immediately, knew that what happened was going to present a very difficult situation. So wish Joe Burrow all the best and hopefully a speedy recovery so he can get back out there to slinging it, hopefully with five guys that are amped and ready to keep him upright.
See, the thing is that there's only so much you can do when it comes down to that. Like, but every play call isn't going to be a three-step drop, right? Every play call can't be that. You can't just say, you got to get rid of the ball. Well, what if I want to hold on to it and wait for my my secondary or tertiary receiver to come open? No, you can't do that. You got to throw it. I mean, in the end, there's only so much you can do. And the guy needs to play. You're only going to get better by playing. You know, at his point, he showed he can do it. And it's too bad because in retrospect, you say, oh, boy, how do you not do it? But this is kind of how it works. Guys play, and if they're ineffective, then they don't play, and that's kind of what it is. It's, you know, if you sit back and say, all right, let's put Joe Burrow out there, and we have an offensive line, and he's getting sacked 15 times a game, right? It's just they can't even move the ball down. It's like the Bears' offensive line. Nick Foles takes three steps back, and he's already falling down. All right, well then I could see it, but they're moving the ball down the field. The Bengals are scoring points. He's throwing for a lot of yards. I mean, offensively things were working. It's not like it
he's 10 for 30 or, you know, throwing for 85 yards like Tua has been a couple of times where, man, maybe he should come out of the game a little bit. I mean, the offense was succeeding. He was succeeding. You know, I can't look back and say, oh, yeah, well, because he got hurt, you should have done X, Y, and Z. I think that's a little too much money morning quarterback.